Welcome to Living Truth Everyday Podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Savalo, and welcome everyone. If it's your first time here, we welcome you. And if you're back listening, thank you guys so much for the love and the support. Greatly appreciated, as always. And before we start this podcast, just like any of our other podcasts, let's just give glory and honor to the Lord wherever you're at. If you're listening to this in the car, while you're washing dishes, while you're getting ready to go to the gym, whatever it may be, we just pray, Lord, and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that as people listen to this, they're not listening to me, but they're listening to your words and your encouragement and your direction. So we pray, Holy Spirit, may you continue to use each and every single person in this podcast to build them up, to sharpen them, to continue to speak to them as only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So let's get into the podcast. This is going to be a little different because I'm answering five questions that I really feel every young believer or every early believer or someone early in the walk, someone that's maybe rededicating their life to the Lord, and you're like, man, I got some questions. And some of these questions came from podcast. I can't remember if it's 14 or 15, but the podcast that I did with my great friend Denisa, if you've not watched that, I encourage you to go back and watch the podcast. It'll be an encouragement to you, but it'll also build your faith in the workplace, in an environment where you're like, what do I do? How do I do this? So we're going to answer five questions that I think whether you've been a Christian 5 years, 5 months, 5 weeks, or 15 years, all of the above, I think it can be really helpful to you in your walk. So here's going to go question number one. And forgive me because I will need, you know, my paper here as well to kind of help me guide through. So, okay. So question number one, how can I witness at work? What does that look like? How can I be someone that can encourage my coworkers? And as you guys know, if you've seen that podcast, I was a product of someone that ministered to me at work. I know that there are rules and regulations, and by no means am I going to tell anyone on this podcast to negate any of that, but I'm going to tell you to be led by your spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. When it comes to ministering at work, be a light. And this is the first thing that I'm going to start with. And one of the things is that, you know, being a Christian, and whether you're in a corporate environment or whether you're in an environment that maybe is a little bit more worldly, maybe you work in a mall or, you know, construction site, or, you know, what, all these different types of work and employment that you may have. Let me just get this out the way before I go there. But evangelism can be scary regardless. I feel it's extra scary when you're in the work environment, right? When you're evangelizing out in the street, it's like you're just gung-ho. You're like, man, Lord, save somebody in the street. Like, Lord, have someone walk by and, you know, like, let me be, you know, that light for them. But when you're with people 40 hours a day, and maybe it's, you know, I don't know, 36 to 40 hours a day, regardless, there's like a fear that can tend to rise up. Like, should I share my faith? Should I not? What do I do? Like, you know, someone may come to you and have like a really hard situation, or maybe you find them crying in the lunch area. You, these circumstances that can happen at work. I'm going to say tip number one for evangelizing and being a witness at work is allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And a strong number two, Holy Spirit always comes first. A number two, though, is use the giftings, the teachings that you know to be a good example at the workplace, right? Let me give you just for clarity. If people are gossiping, you don't entertain the gossip because you are a reflection of Christ. And we all know that Christ does not want us gossiping, backtalking about anyone. And those are the environments and the times where you might have to excuse yourself, like, hey, let me just get up from here. You know, I don't really know anything about this situation. I'm going to go, because you can't entertain it. You can't entertain gossip at the workplace. That alone is going to start showing your character, right? When everyone is stressed out at work and every, you know, it's deadlines and this, and you're in a level of peace and calm, people are going to start looking at your character, right? So allow your character to be a reflection of Christ. And you will easily see how people would be like, why are you not stressed? Why are you not mad? Like, why are you always like at peace? And that is a perfect opportunity to just be like, because I have Christ. And because I have Christ, he gives me peace. Now, are there going to be moments that you don't have peace at work? Absolutely, right? But it's always how you respond to a situation that's going to build up your character in front of others. And people are going to say like, wow, man, that I can't believe how she handled that conflict at work. That's different. And that type of, I would say, circumstance or that type of situation, when people see it, it's like a level of integrity that people normally don't see. Like, wow, that's different. Like someone that's so caring and someone that's so loving and a reflection of Christ, it could lead people to be drawn to you, because a lot of times that's what we're looking for. In our nature, we're looking for someone that's loving and caring and always affectionate and someone that's, you know, encouraging us. And when you're that encouragement, you see someone going through a difficult time or a difficult situation, you can be able to just say like, hey, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And some people just look at you like, how do you know? How do you know everything's going to be okay? Like, hey, just allow the peace of God, you know, to just comfort you. Like, hey, I don't know where you are in your faith, but I am a believer. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, if you know that they're Christian, or I don't know where you are at in your faith, but I know for me as a Christian, this is what helps me. It helps me to pray. It helps me to be around brothers and sisters in the Lord that can help me, that can encourage me, that can give me godly wisdom. So I would just say, you know, find opportunities to just encourage people, find opportunities that allow you to show your faith, and always work in excellence. Always have an ability to work in excellence. Do everything as you're doing it unto the Lord. I've said this before, but it always reminds me when I go write an email and maybe I'm a little upset because of the circumstance of the situation. I remember one time the Spirit of the Lord said to me, write that email as if you were writing to your pastor. And backspace. Because I understood what the Holy Spirit was saying to me is, watch your words. Watch your words. Like, would you say this if this was your pastor? Would you say this if it was another man of God? Would you say this if it was your brother? Would you say this if it was your sister? Like, watch the things that you say and how you say it. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring you that quick correction where you're like, I can rephrase this. I can rephrase what I'm trying to say so that it doesn't sound so harsh, so it doesn't sound, you know, too direct. I can rephrase my words. So that's my tip for you. How can you witness at work? You know, allow the Lord to lead and guide you, and pray for your coworkers. Pray for those that you are with 36 hours of the day, of the week, 40 hours of the week. Just pray for them, you know, like, Lord, I pray that you would open up a door for me to minister to them. Lord, I pray for their households. I pray that they would encounter salvation. I pray that you would minister to them. I pray covering over them. I just pray your shalom, your peace over them. And when you begin to have that heart where you are interceding for them, you're beginning to pray for them, your heart towards them will change. It might not be right away, but your heart will start to look at them a little different. You no longer look at them for what they're allowing you to see on the outside, but you'll be able to see their heart. God will begin to show you like, hey, what's really speaking here is fear. Hey, what's really speaking here is doubt. Hey, this person seems like this trauma wasn't really rooted on that situation. It looks like there might be another internal conflict. And the Holy Spirit will give you such wisdom because you're posturing your heart to care for them, right? You're posturing your heart to say, Lord, you know, bless them. Lord, begin to give them wisdom. Begin to give them clarity. You know, pray for your bosses. Pray for those people in leadership over you, that they make the best decision for the business, that make the best decision for the employees, that make that make decisions, you know, and you'll notice your heart starts to change. So take that. And again, if you've not listened to the podcast before this, just being able to be encountered by God in the work environment, I encourage you to. Okay, number two question here is, I don't know the word. How can God use me? And I think we've all been here. How can God use me? I don't know the word of God. I can't, you know, spit out scripture and tell you, you know, Hebrews, you know, 11:1, faith is the substance of things not seen. I'm not that person. Like, how can God use me? And, you're in for a treat, because this is the same thing that Moses in the Bible was confronted with. He was confronted with God was calling him to do something. He was being called to get the people out of Egypt. And if you want to read this, I encourage you to go to Exodus. Go to Exodus 3:3-4. And he was questioning God. He was like, God, like, why me? Like, I don't have the words. I stutter. I don't know. Like, why me? And there's so many times we question what God is calling us to do. And it's because he already knows we could do it. There's so many times that we're questioning ourselves, like, God, why? Like, I don't know the word. I don't know how you could use me. I don't know. Like, and God's like, I can use you. I created your mouth. Like, come on, let me use you. And I would posture your heart to align with God's purpose for your life. Align your heart. You may not have the words, but he does. You may not understand everything you're doing, but he does. You may not have the most eloquent, elaborate, but he does. Words, but he does. And when you begin to trust the Lord and say, you know what, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go in, and you're calling me to evangelize, or you're calling me to start a small group, or you're calling me to do a one-on-one Bible study with someone. And when you begin to posture and position yourself in that place, not posture, but position yourself in that place, you will see how God can use you just like that. Because it's not within our own self. It's us and the Holy Spirit. Anything you're doing apart with God, most of the times will not live its course. But when you're doing things with the Lord, because he's called you to that, you will see how it will complete God will complete what he started. And we see this with Moses. Moses was like, Lord, I can't. He sends him Aaron. He sends him some help along the way. And eventually you see Moses leading people out of Egypt. And was it a journey? Yes. What did he do it alone? No. And when God calls us to do something, we may not have all the words. We may not understand fully what the big picture is, but you're not going to be alone in the journey. I remember when Jeremiah, the Lord called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says at one point, like, I'm too young. Like, even Jeremiah told the Lord, like, I'm too young. Like, you're not too young. You're not too old. You are right where God wants you. Man, it gets me emotional. You're exactly where God wants you to be. And I say that with such encouragement, because I've seen mighty men and women of God start their ministry in their 60s. I've seen them start their ministry where they go out on the street and it's a blessing. And I've seen men and women of God that have started food pantries and they're 19. And it's like, wait, hold on. Like, God can call you at any age. He can call you to do his work because there is enough. There is enough labor in the field. There's enough harvest, not enough laborers. I almost chopped that up. But there's enough work to go around. God is looking for people to labor, and he needs you. He needs you. So if you've been feeling that tug on your heart, and you're like, Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't have to memorize the Bible from the front to the back. Don't I have to, you know, do this and do that and, you know, go to Bible school. I haven't taken any theology classes. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Those are exactly the ones he wants. You know, those are exactly the ones he wants, the ones that he knows their hearts. I'm reminded of the scripture in Zechariah. It's not by your own strength. It's not by any of that. It's not by that, but it's by his spirit. When you are aligning your heart to be exactly where, like, that's so tender and exactly where God wants you to be, he knows that he can begin to help mold you and shape you, because he is the potter and we are the clay, right? It's not by strength, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. And when you think about that, like, it's not anything that we can do, but God's looking for willing people that have a yes in their heart, that are willing to do what the Lord is calling them to do. So stay right there. If that's where God is calling you and God is really just speaking to you like, hey, I need you. Like, he's going to give you the boldness. God is going to give you the boldness. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the direction. There's just small steps that he wants you to take. One, he wants you to have the yes in your heart. Two, he wants you to begin to pray and listen to his voice, and he'll lead and guide the way. He'll begin to open up your visions and dreams and give you direction for that things that he's calling you to do. And I love the Lord, because one thing that he does is that sometimes you'll get that confirmation from someone, or you'll get the vision, or you'll begin to see, you know, if God is calling you, I'm just going to give the example, evangelism. Every swipe that you have on your phone will be about evangelism. You know, if he's calling you to, you know, missionaries, like, you'll start seeing missionaries, you'll start seeing the word everywhere. It's just how God works. I don't know, but it's how he works. I have found in my Christian walk that God, you know, he knows us so well. He knows that sometimes we need confirmations, and he knows that sometimes he's just got to keep reminding us, like, don't forget what I've called you to do. Don't forget that what I've called you to do. So stay right there. Begin to position yourself. All of these questions are going to end with prayer. Lord, give me the boldness. Give me the boldness. Give me the ability to know your word. Give me the ability, Father God, to be led by your spirit. So don't worry about what you do or do not know. God will give you wisdom and direction. He will begin to give that to you so that you can go out there in the field, and, you know, you'll be able to say the right words at the right time. And you didn't even remember you read that Bible verse, but could quote it left and right, because God deposits great things. And I'm not saying this avoids you, like, us not getting into our word. We have to get into our word. We have to be disciplined in our word. We have to be able to make time to spend with God. We cannot do ministry without the minister. Like, that is who God is in our life. He is the one that ministers to us, and he can and does an amazing job. He's a great teacher. He is the best teacher. All right. So question number three. Do we change right away? Lord, help me. Do we change right away? I feel like the same person. And this happens to us, you know, when we're walking for so long, you know, we feel like, man, I feel like the same, but I know I'm supposed to be a new creature in Christ. What does that look like for me? Like, Lord, why am I not feeling the same right away? And what I say to that is allow the Lord to work the change on you little by little. And sometimes he works on us little by little, and some of us, he don't waste no time. He puts us around people that are so like intercessors, spiritual, have walked in the Lord in deliverance, have worked in the Lord in restoration. And he's like, he ain't got no time for us. Like, he's got no time for us to waste. I always give this example. It's like I learned about prayer before I learned that Noah built an ark. And that is what he does sometimes, because he knows the circumstance and the situation that we are in that require that. And I say that because I want you to know that it is a process. It is not a just a one quick right away. I get saved. And I'm a new creature in Christ and that's it. No, but there's something that happens when we can just begin to allow the Lord to just help us in our day to day, help us grow. Help us begin to be wise in the things that we're doing. Help us to be, act in a certain way. And one of the things that I also feel is so important is that some of our bad habits or bad behaviors have been in there for a really long time, have been in there for quite a while. And I can remember for me, one of the first things that the Lord stripped away from me in my early walk was cursing. That was one of the first things that, I remember the Lord just like, I was so sensitive to it. Like I would hear a word that, just a curse word, a four-letter word. And I was just like, ooh, somebody just cursed. I still do it to this day because it strikes me. It's language that the Spirit of the Lord, it just doesn't go together. Like it doesn't go together. I remember I was hearing a podcast and so offended by it. It was talking about how cursing isn't bad and like, well, we're not in the same word, that's for sure. But unwholesome talk, right, shouldn't be coming out of us as believers. It should be words that please God, that honor God. Yes, does correction come? Yes. But I'm talking about words that people use. No curse word is not used in the context of what it's intended to do, which is to speak vulgarly, right? Or speak aggressively, or speak like with an attitude, whatever words you want to say. But I want to take you guys to Colossians 4, verse 6. Let me share it here. Colossians 4. Here we go. Almost got it. Colossians 4, verse 6. And it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And when it comes to how we speak and how we talk, it's important that we, aren't just out there, saying whatever we want to say as a new believer, rededicated believer. Like, watch the things that come out of your mouth. Like, watch that. And that was the first thing that I know, not the first thing, but one of the first things that Lord brought corrections to me very quickly. Like, how can you pray for someone and then also have this come out of your mouth? How can cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth? I don't even know where that scripture is, but I know it's in there. But how can that come out of your mouth? And one of the things that, as you continue to, be in your walk with the Lord, I would challenge you, to continue to ask the Lord, like, Lord, find anything in me that's not of you that you want me to change. Like, start with one thing. I promise you, God isn't going to come down with a long list of things. Oh, well, maybe he may. But make sure that there's things I don't say make sure, but ask the Lord, like, is there anything within me that I need to deal with so that I continue to grow, so that I continue to see myself growing in Christ? Because we've had bad behaviors for a long time. And there's going to be some that he wants us to address immediately. And there are going to be others that he's like, hey, I'm going to leave this one on the back burner. And the verse that I was thinking about, because I was looking it up at the same time. Sorry, that's just where my mind works. But out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James 3:10. So we know that this is not something that the Lord wants us to do, right? Where it's like, wait, how does cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth? That doesn't make any type of sense, right? And that's where we want to make sure we check ourselves. But I know that the Lord will have something for you. I read it here one more time. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So there goes the word of the Lord. When God is beginning to, you know, change you as a new creature in Christ, there are going to be things that, you know, you continue to ask the Lord to change. And let me read that scripture too. Let me read that scripture here. I should have read that one first. Forgive me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, then the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And when we think of this, I think of always like someone that, you know, like you become an infant in the Lord. And there's things that God is going to be teaching you and changing you. But you also have to hunger and thirst for that. You have to begin to say like, Lord, I need some milk. I need some nutrition. I need to be able to, you know, walk. I need to be able to fend for myself. Yes, there's going to be a season where people will pour into your life. But also hunger for that. Hunger for that continued surrounding of change. Ask the Lord, like, surround me around people that can help me grow in this season, because you will start to see more and more change come into your life when you are surrounded around people that are pouring into you. And you will feel fed. You will feel like, man, I don't feel like nothing's happening. But you'll be like, I'm trying to catch up, Lord. I'm trying to catch up. So that was question number 3. Let me go to question number 4. Why is it so hard to stay focused as a Christian? Number one, because there's so many distractions. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to stay focused as a Christian? The one thing that came to me when I saw this question, you know, was, I get so emotional, is ensure that God is your priority. Ensure that God is your priority in all things. Because if you make Christ your priority, when you wake up, man, Lord, thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're so good. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want to spend time with you. Because it's the first thing. Seek the kingdom of God first. It's the first thing that's in your heart. It's in your mind. Oh, Lord, I just want to spend a few minutes with you. Lord, I just want to, it's just me and you, a few minutes. And when you begin to restructure your mind and begin to say to the Lord, man, help me in this area. God will. God will absolutely help you in that area. But there is a very clear, and I'm trying to get the right words that are in my heart, but you have to ensure that your heart and your mind are aligned to put God first, to put time with the Holy Spirit first, to put the Lord in all his ways first. It is your relationship with Christ that will determine everything else. He has to be your one priority, because distractions are going to come. But if you can stay steadfast on this is my number one priority, it will keep you focused. It would keep you focused on the goal to always spend time with the Lord. And there are real distractions. There are things in our lives that will try to distract us from putting God first. Now, some of the distractions aren't always bad distractions, but they're distractions in the aspect of where they sit on our priority list. So Christ should be first, hands down. Everything else should be second, right? So Christ first, my marriage second, our children, right? And everything trickles down from there. Because if I can't have time with God, I don't know how effective I can be as a wife. I don't know how effective I can be if I'm not always in communion with the Lord. Christ as our third cord in our marriage, he has to be part of what's guiding and leading us. And if I don't have that time with him, it makes it very hard for me to be gracious, to be humble. It makes it a little harder, and not impossible, but spending time with the Lord is going to be an important factor for our Christian walk. I say our Christian walk. It's going to be important. And it's not a thing in our life. I want to say that. Like, God is not just something in our life. No, he is our life. He is my core compass, my foundation, my firm rock, and where I stand, where every brick by brick that composes me is by the Lord. Everything. And when we begin to set that priority and the love of the Lord is within us, it will start to pour into other areas of our life. Now, how do I begin to make the Lord my core focus? How do I stay focused as a Christian? Eliminate distractions, number one. And your distractions are not my distractions. You may have distractions that do not just wouldn't. I would probably be on here telling you a lot because they wouldn't distract me. But some distractions in general that I think it's important for us to be aware of, right? Number one, social media. Social media, right? Number one distraction in 2024, social media. Probably 2024, 2023, 2022, for a while, social media. Eliminate that distraction. Because if the first thing in the morning you do is check your Instagram, your TikTok, your Snapchat, your Facebook, refocus that. Do not let the first thing that hits your spirit be something that's not spiritual. And it is, that's a whole nother podcast. But if that's the first thing that you're gravitating to, where's your focus? What are you seeking first? If that's the first thing you desire to do in the morning, it's like, let me check my updates. Refocus that. Begin. I always remember what my grandma said. Before you brush your teeth, before you get ready, make sure you pray. Make sure you pray. Make sure that before you look at your Instagram, look at your Facebook, look at your Snapchat, pray. Look at your TikTok, pray. Because then you are setting your day first with the Lord. You're setting that time. Before you check your email, you might not be someone who is on social media. That may not be your distraction. You know, your distraction may be your to-do list. That might be your distraction, where the first thing in the morning you do is like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Before all of that, spend time with God. That might be your distraction, is that you are someone who needs to stay on track with everything that they need to do. That might be you. And again, not that the to-do list is bad. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if it's coming before God, that's where you need to check yourself, because you don't want any type of idols in your life. And I know that, you know, when you hear the word idols, maybe you're thinking like golden statue or things. No, idols are anything that's separating you from the Lord. right? An idol can be, you know, your job. It could be a car. It could be your desire, your wealth, right? Like, that's all you seek after, and never seek after the presence of God. So eliminate some of those distractions. Another distraction is your company. Bad company corrupts a good character. I think that's what the scripture says. But watch the people that are around you. Everybody ain't for you. You know, if you're hanging around people that smoke and drink and you're trying to stay focused on your Christian walk, that might not be the company that you have in this season. You know, you may just need some time to get strong with the Lord. You may need to start finding some friends that love the Lord, love Jesus, and can keep you focused on the things of God, right? And that's going to probably be my second point on how to stay focused. Get friends that love the Lord, get a mentor, someone to help you out, someone to do a Bible study with you. Get around people to truly grow you, okay? That's how you're going to start staying focused. Number three, read his word. Read the word of God. Read the word of God. Number four, create a habit of prayer. First thing in the morning, pray. Maybe you're a night owl, pray. But get some time where it's you and the Lord. Don't forget worship. Number five, staying focused. Keep worship music playing on the background. Keep worship music continually speaking and honoring and exalting the Lord. Keep worship music around you. It's hard to keep worship. It's hard to hear worship and continue to hear distractions. It's hard to, because they're two different things. And worship music can start to keep you focused, can start to give you within your heart like a renewness. I don't even know if that's a word, but just it can renew you in your spirit and in your heart. So I encourage you to do that. If that's something that, you know that you, your heart, every part of you just loves worship, allow that to keep you focused. Allow that to keep you first. So I'm going to say all the ones again, right? So let me answer the question first. Why is it so hard to stay focused as a Christian, right? Because there are so many distractions that are pulling us away from getting to Christ. How do we eliminate those distractions? Watch those things that actually distract us. Social media, bad company, a priority list, bad habits. Get people that can mentor you, get friends, surround yourself around friends, mentors. If you're not connected to a local congregation, I didn't add that, but get connected to a local congregation, read his word, create a habit of prayer and worship. These are all going to be key focuses or key ways to keep you focused. All right. My last question here, and probably the one that, man, it's so dear to my heart here, but how can I deal with unbelieving family members? How do I deal with unbelieving family members? And I always like to say, this takes time. How do I deal with it? Me personally, I continue to pray for my family. I continue to pray. The word of God tells us that he desires that none shall perish. That's his desire. He wants us all to come to the knowledge of Christ. And I truly do stand on that word, that Lord, you desire that no one in my family shall perish. And let me read that scripture here. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So this tells me here some great attributes, some great things that I should always remember within my character is be patient. He was patient with all of us. Be patient with those family members that haven't come to know the Lord yet. be gracious, you know, be very, very gracious. One of the things that I've personally experienced is that, you know, sometimes you can feel like your Christianity is under attack. And I only say quotation mark because of the way they see our Christianity. You know, sometimes it can be questioned, but remain faithful, you know, remain faithful in the work that God has started in you. But don't worry always about winning an argument. People may not understand, and have that heart where it's like, man, I know that I was there once too. Show the love of Christ. I remember people would be like, my non-believing friends, why is your Bible so big? Like, why do you got to carry with that everywhere? That's a lot. And I would, some parts of you just is like feeling attacked. Like, you got to feel like you defend your Christian faith. Use wisdom in all those situations. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to have a clap back in those type of circumstances. But be gracious, you know. The other thing I'll say is, don't always worry about, you know, are they coming to faith? Are they not coming to faith? You know, when are they coming to faith? Pray, you know, just pray that the Lord will begin to minister to them. And this is exactly what my prayer is. I'm like, Lord, encounter them in the grocery store. Lord, allow your spirit to encounter them at Wawa's. Lord, allow your spirit to encounter them at 7-Eleven. Lord, make a way where there is no way for them to hear the good news, for them to hear the gospel, for them to be surrounded around someone at work that loves you, Lord. Like, allow the word of God to be a light onto their feet. Father, I just pray. And you pray in that manner. You begin to pray some radical prayers for your unsaved loved ones. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would cover them, that you would guide them, that you would send them someone, Father, to hear you, to that knows your word. Send them somebody that knows your word and that loves you. Because sometimes it happened even to Jesus, like prophets not even welcome in their own hometown. And there's sometimes that it's hard to minister to those that are around you because they know the old you. So now that they're seeing the new you, they're like, what is going on? So they knew how you used to be. They knew how you were. And now they're seeing you a little different. And they're like, wait, I don't know if I'm really understanding this new Christian in you. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to do some of that work. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to them, to begin to just talk to them. But you continue to be a light. You continue to be a light. Be a light. Don't seclude yourself, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't seclude yourself from, man, I can't see my family because they don't believe and I believe. Don't do that. Unless the Spirit of the Lord tells you otherwise. Why do I say that? I say that because I've been in so many circumstances and situations because I know and I believe that I am a carrier of His light. The Bible tells us where there is light, there shall be no darkness. I truly do believe, and this is the Spirit of God in me, right? But I truly do believe that being around my family, being around them in more ways than one, being an encourager, there's a light that's on the scene. It's the Spirit of God that's on the scene, and He's dismantling darkness. I'm like, Lord, the amount of arguments that may have happened in a family function if it wasn't for there being light on the scene. And I don't say that arrogantly. I'm not saying because it was me, but because I understand the one that lives inside of me. And I know that there's been times where Thanksgiving functions, Christmas functions, birthdays, graduations, where the believers have dismantled light being on the scene. There's no question about it. And allow the Lord to continue to use you to be a light in your family. Allow the Lord to use you to bring souls. into your family. Allow the Lord to use you, even if it's only for a season, where you can encourage someone in prayer, where you can build their faith, where you can say, man, there's more to this Christian walk than you've ever imagined. Because the truth is that we don't want any of our family to perish. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard to minister from a place of they're just going to want to start an argument. Like, why do we always get, why does this always seem to get into an argument? But just show the love of God. Show the grace of God. A lot of the times I refrain from going back and forth with people. Like, why do you guys believe in this? Or why don't, you know, like where they're asking very religious kind of law kind of questions. Like, why do you believe in this? And why do you believe in that? A lot of the times I'm just like, well, tell me what you believe. Like, what's your source? Like, where'd you get that? Because a lot of times I'm not going to debate, you know, biblical theology and, you know, like apologetics. Well, I love apologetics, the ability to defend the faith, that I will do. But always in love, you know, like, hey, tell me why you believe that. Hey, man, I that's where your testimony will begin now to shine. Like, hey, I can't tell you exactly where that is in the Bible, but I can tell you that God healed me. No one can defute your testimony. Even your family, they can't defute that you were once one way, now you're another way, right? Like, hey, I know that God broke me out of that one time. That's the way I've dealt with it. Like, Jesus has been so good to me. Like, that's truly how I've been able to overcome anxiety, worry, fear. Let the love of Christ that's within you begin to shine. Let the love of the Lord continually bring you like a reflection, I guess I would say. Like, the more the love of the Lord is in within you, you the more people will begin to see it. And I think that's where, as believers, again, I know it gets tough. I know it gets tough. I know it gets hard where you're seeing your family and, you know, they're just not where you want them to be. And this is where God may be just calling you, you know, like maybe calling you within your family members, maybe calling you to be the intercessor in your family, where you're really praying out for your family, where you're like, no, devil, you will not continue to oppress my family with anxiety. Nope, you will not continue to bring forth depression within my family. And God may call you in the midnight hour, y'all. He might call you in the midnight to start praying and start interceding for your family and tearing down wicked altars, breaking curses, things that the enemies, you know, like, he'll put it in our face, but it's hard sometimes for us to fight back. And if God has called you out of your family and has saved you, use that to your advantage. Use that to begin to pray for them, to intercede for them, write all their names down, and just like, Lord, I pray for each and every single person in my family. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that they would come into the knowledge of God, that you would begin to rise them up, Father God, from every dark place. Lord, unveil their eyes for them to see you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray that every crooked path that the enemy has tried to place before them, we make it straight right now under the authority of Christ. And you just start praying. You just start praying for them, man. You just like go in, you know. And again, this is where knowing your word is important. Praying out scripture is important. And if you're not that person where you're like, I don't know how to do this, you know, just look up scriptures, you know, look up scriptures that deal with family, look up scriptures that deal with blessing, look up scriptures of intercession. And this is why, you know, I'm an advocate for the Bible app, but YouVersion, this is why you can type anything in there and just let the Lord like lead you. And just write, you know, like, hey, I'm writing this scripture for my family. I'm writing this scripture for my unsafe spouse. I'm writing this scripture for my unsafe children. I'm standing on this scripture for my unsaved brothers. I'm putting this scripture for my unsaved parents. And you just continue to just write and declare that word over them as you begin to pray for them. So he's calling you for a reason, and this is your season. So continue to allow the Lord to use you. The last scripture I want to share, and I didn't share it, but it man, I don't even know how I skipped over it. But Matthew 22, let me just go to it. Matthew 22:37. Sorry, I was getting there. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied. Oh, let me go back to 36. So Matthew 22:36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And this goes back to making Christ a priority in everything that you do. Whether we're talking about our families, whether we're talking about the workplace, whether we're talking about the change that we desire to see within us, whether we're talking about like staying focused on him, eliminating the distractions, love the Lord with all your heart. When you set yourself to say, "Lord, you are my rock. You are my foundation. You are the lover of my soul." When you start to truly have that type of adoration onto the Lord, and when you start to say like, "Wow, Lord, this is good," and keep your eyes fixed on him, you'll start seeing yourself grow like that in your Christian walk. You'll start seeing yourself, you know, where the Lord is revealing so many great and beautiful and amazing things. And again, it is steps that the Lord takes with all of us. And I remember, I don't remember how long ago it was or when it happened, but I remember having this thought where I was like, "Lord," and I'm mentioning this, so I know it's for someone, but I remember having this thought like, "How can I love someone I don't see? Like, how can I love someone I don't see?" And it was really hard for me in my early walk to say, you know, like, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. You're so good. Man, Lord, you're amazing. You're a good father." Because for me, it's like I felt like I had to physically see someone. I felt like, how can I say I love you if I can't see you? You know? And I remember, I don't remember when it was or how long it was. Oh, man. But I remember truly having this moment where I was just praying, and I felt the love of God. Like, I felt the love of God come in me. And I was like, "Oh, wow, Lord, you're real." And I just challenge you, if that's you and you're having that moment, like, "It's hard for me to say I love you, Lord," or "It's hard for me to say, God, you're good. God, you're mighty. God, you're ever with me. You are ever loving." If it's hard for you to say those things, ask the Spirit of the Lord to encounter you. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to encounter you. Ask him to like, just come. Just come. And you will begin to see, hear, feel the presence of God. All of that. All of it. And continue to ask the Spirit of the Lord. I want to leave you guys with that right there. I just felt like that's going to be for someone on the podcast. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for this time here where you were able to just be present, where your Spirit was right here. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you would continue to keep us focused, keep our eyes fixed on you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. We thank you because there is none like you, Lord. We praise you, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, may you continue to speak And may our ears listen to what the Word of God is saying to us in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Man, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Glory be to God. Have a beautiful rest of your weekday. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bye, everybody.